Welcome to The Week Ahead in Russia, RFERL's Monday podcast about significant developments and upcoming events in Moscow and beyond. I'm Steve Gutterman, and my guest this week is Robert Colson, senior correspondent here at RFERL. Welcome, Rob. Thanks for joining me today.
Thanks for having me, Steve. It's good to be back.
All right. One thing I'd like to discuss, or the one thing today, is Belarus and Russia's role there. The protests against Alexander Lukashenko are not going away, despite the persistent crackdown. Yesterday, on Sunday, the protests were really quite huge, over 100,000 people in Minsk, 200,000, according to some estimates. And yesterday was the opposition's deadline, opposition leader Svetlana Tsikhanouskaya's deadline, for Lukashenko to step down and take other measures, including releasing political prisoners. As expected, he did not. Now, Russia, and in fact, there was a large crackdown again yesterday with, I think the government just recently said more than 520 people were arrested. And there are more arrests today. Now, Russia was fairly silent for a while after the disputed August 9th election that led to this showdown between Lukashenko and millions of Belarusians. But Putin then spoke to Lukashenko a few times. He's met with him. Moscow is supporting him with a loan and other measures, seemingly looking for ways to gain more influence in the future, whether Lukashenko holds on or not. But I would say so far, certainly giving him critical, crucial support. Now, Rob, the situation is fluid. There are reports of some strikes today as called for by Tsikhanouskaya and the opposition. But I think the government says that most factories are working normally. And as I said, there's quite a few detentions, I believe, already. But so the situation is fluid. But I'm wondering whether you think the Kremlin's position is likely to change as a result of these recent developments, or could change depending on what happens in the coming days and weeks.
As you said, a lot depends on whether the strike works, whether it takes hold. I've actually been sort of surprised that the opposition hasn't tried harder to have a strike earlier. I was expecting one back in August. And the fact that they haven't, or they've tried a little bit a few times, but it didn't really take. And makes me think that maybe they don't have confidence that people will en masse come out. But if they did, that would certainly completely be a game changer, both for Lukashenko and for Moscow, because I don't think Moscow would want Russia or Belarus to become even more of an economic basket case than it already is by enduring some, weeks of general strike or a huge crackdown against the general strike. So definitely I'm watching the strike to see how effective it is as the main thing right now. But I also think it's important, just to get that back to basics, to remember that Russia really does see Belarus as a geopolitical priority, and it's not going to give up. It's not going to walk away, no matter what happens there. So it's going to continue trying to find a way to maintain its influence. There's been a lot of speculation that some of the opposition political parties in the August presidential election were Moscow-backed or Moscow projects aimed at easing Lukashenko out and coming up with somebody in the presidency in Belarus who's more predictable. And Lukashenko sort of outplayed that hand by arresting them all and massively falsifying the election, at least according to most analysts.
Right.
So we're now in another situation where Moscow, I think, is still looking for a way to ease Lukashenko out while maintaining its influence in Belarus. And this process of national dialogue and constitutional reform could be a way of doing that if the strike situation doesn't work and force everybody's hand. They could talk for a year or more. Lukashenko could have a gradual way out. The more players that are involved in such a process, the more levers there are for Moscow to manipulate these fake NGOs or various businesses, unions. Moscow has many, many levers there that could influence an agenda. We've seen Moscow to be quite happy with sort of weak, non-functioning parliamentary systems in Moldova and in Ukraine, and I wouldn't think that that model would be objectionable to Moscow, even in Belarus, if the constitutional reform came out like that. Manipulating the situation through political parties is much easier than through the personalized politics of someone like Lukashenko, which is really unpredictable. Plus, a basket case parliamentary system keeps the West, makes it much harder for the West to take a position mm-hmm. and get involved.
Well, that's a very, very interesting commentary or analysis. So I guess bottom line sounds like, or one of the bottom lines, that Russia is not going away. It's not going to kind of give up Belarus. But the outcome or the what happens in the next days and weeks with the strike effort will, it could potentially force Moscow's hand. But we're still looking at Russia that's going to be trying to use the levers that it has and the situation that develops to maintain and increase, I guess, its influence going forward, I would say.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, and just a bit of a follow-up, a day or two ahead of Sunday's opposition deadline for Lukashenko to step down, which, of course, I don't think anyone expected him to do that, and before the massive protest and the crackdown, U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo spoke to Lukashenko by phone. One of the two things the State Department said about the call was that Pompeo, quote, reaffirmed U.S. support for the democratic aspirations of the people of Belarus, unquote. Now, obviously, that's not that's a vote for the people of Belarus. The readout in Belarusian state media was quite voluminous and very different and sounded, it seemed like almost every other word was Russia. Russia and Belarus are close partners. Russia will defend Belarus if necessary, including from outside attack. Russia is not interfering in Belarusian affairs was another thing that the state media in Belarus seemed to be eager to state. Rob, this may be a hard question. It's kind of tough to get into Lukashenko's mind, but who could he be signaling to? I mean, wouldn't all this only reinforce, and we were just talking about Russia's efforts for increased or continued influence, wouldn't all this just reinforce in Putin's mind, in the Kremlin's mind, the idea that Lukashenko is vulnerable and can be manipulated by Moscow?
Yeah, well, Lukashenko, of course, as everybody knows, has been playing the sort of balance between the West and Russia for a long time, with a strong lean toward Russia, of course, but using the West as well when he can. But in this case, I think he's definitely signaling to the United States that messing with Belarus is messing with Russia, the big bear standing behind him. Mm-hmm. So he's trying to ease the pressure from the United States and the European Union, which have refused to recognize him and are really pushing hard to for him to step down. So to some extent, he wants to make himself look stronger vis-a-vis the West than he is. And whether or not he's signaling to Putin that he's weak, I mean, Putin has a pretty good sense of how weak Lukashenko is right now anyway, so there isn't that much risk there.
Right.
I think he realizes that he's hanging by a thread in Putin's hands as well. So, I don't think he has much bargaining strength there.
Right.
He is relying on Putin, and at this point, I'd say he's not relying on Putin more to stay in power, but to affect a reasonable transition that lets him save face and lets him retire to Russia somewhere.
Yeah, interesting. I mean, so it's like he doesn't have a hand to play, so not much to lose by kind of signaling weakness if that's what he's doing.
Yeah, it's a time thing. I think he's also looking at this national dialogue thing as a way to that he can sit in power for another year and a half and either hope that something comes up or negotiate for himself a face-saving way out.
Right. I mean, as some people have said, I think it's you know, it's quite impossible, I think, to envision him kind of running for president, you know, in the next presidential elections if they're held in the regular term. So
certainly, if he doesn't control the election, he wouldn't run again because the shame of being voted out of office would be too much.
Right. Okay. Well, thanks very much, Rob. We're running out of time. We're going to have to wrap it up for today. Appreciate you joining me. Thanks a lot. Okay, I'll be back next Monday with another edition of The Week Ahead in Russia. Meanwhile, please keep an eye out on Friday for my Week in Russia newsletter. Thank you for listening.